wife walks over with a look of despair and slowly lifts her husband's shirt, revealing huge red scab lesions covering more than half his lower back. The imagery is shocking, grotesque, and horrific, looking like nothing less than a large third-degree burn. In my 31 years of practice, I've examined hundreds of people with shingles and have never seen anything that looks so severe as the manufactured lesions in this commercial. I immediately knew it was designed to evoke a strong emotional response with the viewing audience, because it certainly did in me. Once you see the rash on the man's back, the commercial achieves its goal of commanding your attention. Because the portrayal of the rash is so arresting, it changes the way you were feeling from only a few moments before your present state of watching it. The moment the commercial significantly changes your internal emotional state, it causes you to put more of your attention and awareness on the source of the disruption in your external environment. The stronger the emotion it causes, stimulus, the more you lean in and pay attention, response. This association of stimulus and response, or conditioning, is how long-term or associative memories are created. This process of conditioning begins by pairing a symbol or an image with a change in an emotional state, a combination that opens the doorway between the conscious and subconscious mind. In the case of the shingles commercial, now that they have captured all your attention and begun the programming process, you can't help but naturally wonder what they're about to say next. The commercial continues with a somber male narrator. If you've ever had chickenpox, the shingles virus is already inside of you. As you get older, your immune system weakens and it loses its ability to keep the shingles virus in check. By using emotional branding, this is the first instance where the commercial raises ethical questions by telling the audience that the immune system weakens with age. Next, we see the man in the bathroom looking at himself in the mirror. He looks worried, broken, and defeated. The scene changes to his wife talking on the phone in the kitchen. "I just can't stand seeing him like this," she says. Next, we see the man doubled over on his bed, palm to forehead, wincing in pain. The narrator then makes a direct suggestion, reinforced by the same words appearing on the screen. 1 in 3 people will get shingles in their lifetime. The narrator continues while the same words remain on the screen. The shingles rash can last up to 30 days. The scene cuts to his wife pleading directly into the camera. "I just wish there was something I could do to help." Again, we see the man in pain, and on the screen appear the words, 1 in 5 people with shingles will have long-term nerve pain. These words remain on the screen for the remaining narration, which says, "Some people with shingles will have long-term nerve pain which can last a few months to a few years. Don't wait until someone you love develops shingles. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist about your risk." Let's take a closer look at what this commercial is attempting to do. First, it puts you in an emotional state by changing how you feel. Once it captures your attention, you immediately become more open and suggestible to the information that follows. Now that you're more prone to accept, believe, and surrender to this information without analyzing it, if you're feeling fearful, victimized, vulnerable, worried, shocked, weak, tired, or in pain, you're more susceptible to the information equal to those emotions. You might start wondering if the ailment could happen to you. At various points during the commercial, certain facts appear written on the screen, allowing you to read along. This serves to reinforce the programming. Also, while the thinking brain is focused on reading the copy, the content of the narration slips behind the conscious mind and into the subconscious mind. Like an audio recorder, it records the entire script and creates an internal program. Next, through a direct, literal suggestion, the narrator has instilled fear in you by personally suggesting you already have the shingles virus in your body, and that because of the natural process of aging, your immune system is no longer strong enough to take care of the virus. This turns on your emotional brain, the seat of your autonomic nervous system, allowing it to become programmed. Once the suggestions make it to your autonomic nervous system, it takes the orders without question and gets busy making chemical changes in your body equal to the literal suggestions. In other words, your body is going to subconsciously and automatically be programmed to weaken your immune function. In conclusion, you're at risk, and you'd better not wait until you contract it. The commercial's effect goes even a little further. If you've ever had chickenpox, and after watching this you think your immune system is weak because of your age, you will decide you have an even greater need to prevent getting shingles, so you will be even more motivated to buy the drug. If you happen to be the person who has shingles and you're watching this commercial, when you see that your condition is not as severe as the actor's shingles, you may find yourself thinking, "I should take the drug now so that it doesn't get any worse. I don't want to end up like him." If you don't have shingles, At the commercial's end, you may still be left quietly wondering, am I part of the two-thirds of the population that is safe, or am I in the one-third of the population that will get the virus? If you think, I hope I'm not part of the one-third, it means you believe there may be a chance that you're susceptible and vulnerable, leaving you unconsciously thinking that you already have it. You know what I found most absurd about this commercial? They never even mention the drug, which means they don't have to reveal its side effects. Since the commercial has now piqued my curiosity, I stopped packing and looked on the internet for another commercial by the same pharmaceutical company. I wanted to know what drug they were suggesting would alleviate the severity of the actor's exaggerated, manufactured lesions. After a quick search, I found several similar commercials with the same theme and wording, but with slight variations. They all shared one thing in common, however. They were all designed to capture your attention. In the next commercial I watched, a woman is wearing goggles and swimming in a lap pool. Everything is black and white. In a twist on the previous commercial, the narrator, speaking in an authoritative female British accent, is the shingles virus, and the narration is coming from within the woman's head. Impressive, Linda. Age isn't slowing you down, but your immune system weakens as you get older, increasing the risk for me, the shingles virus. I've been lurking inside you since you had chickenpox. I could surface at any time as a painful, blistering rash. The scene then abruptly cuts from black and white to color, and a man lifts his shirt to reveal the worst shingles rash you've ever seen. Again, the grotesque, blistering lesion can't help but attract your attention. As quickly as the scene turns to color, it returns to the swimmer in black and white. The commercial continues in a similar manner and formula as the previous one. First, make an arresting statement or show a shocking image to change the viewer's emotional state. Then cause them to be more suggestible to the information via the change in their emotional state. And finally, use auto-suggestion to make them wonder if they already have shingles. This ad also infers that even though you might be healthy, work out, and take care of yourself, you can still become a victim of the virus, further suggesting that no one is immune. Again, the words on the screen reinforce the message. 1 in 3 people get me in their lifetime. Linda, will it be you? If you identify with the woman in any manner, the voice is talking directly to you. The tone of the commercial then changes as a new male narrator begins speaking in a confident, light-hearted tone, devoid of worry or concern. In a similar British accent, the voice says, "And that's why Linda got me drug X." The scene remains in black and white except for the woman's bathing suit, her swim cap, and the name of the drug, which appears on the screen in large, sophisticated font. Now the drug has been imprinted into your brain at yet another level. Once again, the ad has created an association between your health and safety and the drug that will protect you. The tagline comes on the screen as the narrator reads it aloud, stating that the drug helps to boost your immune system against shingles, to help protect her against you, shingles. At the end of the commercial, the narrator says drug X is used to prevent shingles in adults 50 years and older. The drug is not to be used to treat shingles, and it does not help everyone. Here's the punchline. You should not take the drug if you have a weakened immune system. Whoa, what? Back up. Here's the irony. They just told you that as you age, your immune system weakens and you're at a greater risk for shingles. The drug is supposed to strengthen your immune system, but you shouldn't use it if you have a weakened immune system. Now comes the dilemma. If you still choose to take the drug, you believe the drug to be more powerful than your possibly weakened immune system. The programming worked. What the clever, if not unethical, advertisers understand is that this message is confusing and disorientating to your conscious mind. At the same time, however, they are programming your subconscious mind with the idea that your immune system is weak, you probably already have the virus within you, and chances are high that you'll get shingles, even if you are healthy. In addition, you are told that without the medication, you are likely to suffer, even though there is no guarantee that the shingles will go away easily, and that it still might not work if your immune system is weak. Finally comes the side effects, which are not side effects, but direct effects. A shingles-like rash, redness, pain, itching, swelling, hard lumps, warmth, bruising or swelling at the injection site, and headache. Talk to your doctor if you plan to be around newborns or people who are pregnant or have a weakened immune system, because the vaccine has a weakened version of the chickenpox virus, and you could infect them. Wow! I started to wonder what planet I was living on. This type of programming makes you wonder if we really have free will or if we're all making choices based on what we have been conditioned to believe is the answer, whether that's a certain type of beer, shampoo or conditioner, the latest smartphone, or a pill that may or may not provide relief from the shingles virus you may or may not even have. Most of the time, advertising appeals to lack and separation by reminding you to want what you don't have, desire what you need to fit into a social consciousness, or satiate a feeling of emptiness or loneliness. And of course, in this case, if you're sick or feeling like you're sick, the advertiser has the answer to your symptoms. In one final search, I came across a similar commercial with the same theme. An actor dramatically suffering for 17 days, the shocking exposure of a huge lesion, and words on the screen to influence the viewer's thoughts while reinforcing the same content. Like the other commercials, this one explicitly informs the public that the drug is not used to treat shingles. But at the end of the commercial, the handsome man smiles and declares, "I think I'm going to give it a try." Meanwhile, I'm left wondering why he would give it a try if he already has had shingles for 17 days, especially if the drug doesn't treat the condition. Now I'm really confused. Years ago, I learned in my training that by definition, hypnosis is a disorientation of the inhibitory processes of the conscious mind, bypassing the analytical mind so that one becomes highly responsive to suggestions and information in the subconscious mind. As the conscious mind is busy and preoccupied trying to figure things out, the subconscious mind takes it all in without discretion. If you can disorient people with information, or in today's world, disinformation, shock, or confusion, you just open the door to programming their subconscious mind. In this chapter, we're going to learn how to do the opposite and positively reprogram the negative programming we've been conditioned to for most of our lives. Three minds in one brain: the conscious, subconscious, and analytical mind. By now, you know that when you change your brainwaves from beta to alpha, you slow down your neocortex, the analytical thinking brain. As your brainwaves slow down, you leave the domain of conscious mind and enter the realm of the subconscious mind. We could say then that if you are somewhat conscious and aware but not actively engaged in thought, your consciousness is moving out of the thinking neocortex and entering the midbrain, otherwise known as the subconscious, the home to the autonomic nervous system and the cerebellum. If you've ever witnessed someone completely captivated by a television show, so much so that when you tried to speak to them that they didn't hear you, it's possible that they were experiencing alpha brainwave states, a state highly suggestible to information. Suggestibility is the ability to accept, believe, and surrender to information without analyzing it. In this state, the viewer is so engrossed, so focused on what they're watching, that they appear entranced and motionless. Nothing else exists to them except the object of their attention. If the person doesn't analyze the information they are being exposed to, they are likely to accept, believe, and/or surrender to it because there is no analytical filter. It makes logical sense then that the more suggestible you are, the less analytical you are. The opposite is also true. The more analytical you are, the less suggestible you are to information. Therefore, it is less likely that your brain will be in an alpha brainwave or trance state. Take a look at figure 8.1 to help you understand the relationship between suggestibility, the analytical mind, trance, and brainwaves. What the creators of the commercials I mentioned earlier fully understand is the best way to program a person to take a desired action is to put them in an alpha brainwave state, so that the information presented is not analyzed. When the commercial is repeated or a similar one with the same message is played over and over, sooner or later that program is going to enter the viewer's subconscious. The more we are exposed to the stimulus, in this case the commercial, the more automatic the programmed response becomes. Eventually, when we've unconsciously memorized the stimulus and the response is automatic, the conscious mind no longer needs to think about or analyze the incoming information. Meanwhile, the subconscious mind maps the information, recording and storing it like a voice or video recording. Once it is mapped in your brain, each time you are exposed to the commercial, it continues to prime the same neural networks, further reinforcing the same program, thought, and belief. Now, not only can information influence your health, but it can also give you the solution to the problem the commercial is actually creating. Other situations that increase suggestibility include shock, trauma, or a strong emotional reaction. For instance, when people are stunned or exposed to emotionally charged situations, it's common that the brain goes into an altered state. As the brain pauses because of a sensory overload, such as a motor vehicle accident, the person enters a suggestible state. In severe cases, the person surrenders to the shock, becomes frozen and numb, and their ability to think becomes impaired. Therefore, when someone is exposed to an aggressive rash and feels sickened by the images, combined with the right music and narration to create an ominous or foreboding mood, the door to the subconscious mind opens, making the person more easily programmable. If you remember, the subconscious mind sits right below the conscious mind. The limbic brain is the home of the subconscious and the autonomic nervous system, which controls all the automatic biological functions that happen on a moment-to-moment basis. Once a thought is programmed, like a servant carrying out their master's orders, the ANS carries out the request of the thought. If you are repeatedly told that your immune system weakens as you age, and that 1 out of 3 people who have had chickenpox in their life will get shingles, the emotionally charged experience allows the message to make it past your thinking, analytical mind. In response to this information, your ANS follows the orders and can begin to actually weaken your internal defense system. For the advertisers to really get their money's worth in this commercial endeavor, it's best for them to repeatedly run the commercials late in the evening when we're most suggestible to programming. Why? Because melatonin levels rise in response to darkness, and melatonin causes our brainwaves to slow down in preparation for sleeping and dreaming. Because our brainwaves are moving from beta to alpha to theta to delta in the evening, people are less analytical and their subconscious window opens. As daylight wakes us up in the morning and our brain begins producing serotonin, the reverse process occurs. Our brainwaves go from delta to theta to alpha, where again our subconscious is open to programming, and eventually to beta. So if you're an advertiser and you know the majority of the public is not aware of the way subconscious programming works, why not create a series of late-night commercials with your desired messaging? Accent it with just the right amount of fright and concern so as to capture the viewer's attention and proceed to program their autonomic nervous system to get busy taking the orders just before they fall asleep. A good rule of thumb, don't watch anything on television or on the internet or participate in any mode of entertainment that you don't want to experience, not only before bed, but ever. Kaleidoscope eyes. Entranced in trance. For years, I've been thinking about how we're all constantly programmed into self-limiting beliefs, that is, believing that we need something outside of us to change how we feel inside of us. That is, after all, what advertising is all about, the never-ending dependence on and consumption of external sources to make us feel happy or better. This belief, which reminds us of our separation from wholeness, is incessantly ingrained in us through the media, television shows, commercials, the news, video games, websites, and sometimes even music. It's a simple strategy, really. If you can suspend people in the feelings of lack, fear, anger, opposition, prejudice, pain, sadness, and anxiety, they remain dependent on someone or something outside of them to make those feelings go away. If you remain in a perpetual state of busyness and are always preoccupied in survival emotions, you never actually have the opportunity to believe in yourself. But what if it was possible to undo or reverse that programming? So you had unlimited beliefs about yourself and your life. That's exactly what we've been doing for several years at our advanced workshops, using 2 simple tools, including one that children have been playing with for ages, a kaleidoscope. The only difference is that we're applying it in a technologically advanced way to induce trance. Up until this point, we've been moving into trance in alpha and theta brainwave states with our eyes closed during meditation. But if we can create alpha and even theta brainwave states with our eyes open and intentionally expose ourselves to information relevant to our life's dreams and goals, we can reprogram ourselves into supernatural states rather than the unconscious states we experience daily. But why the kaleidoscope? For many years now, my primary passion has been the mystical. Each time I have one of these profound and super lucid experiences, they create lasting changes within me that deepen my understanding of myself and my connection to the mystery of life. Once you have a mystical experience and get your first glance behind the veil, you can never go back to business as usual. And with every subsequent mystical experience you have, you move closer to source, wholeness, oneness, and the indivisible unified field. The good news is that mystical experiences are no longer relegated to people like Teresa of Avila, Francis of Assisi, or a Buddhist monk who's been meditating for 40 years. Every person is capable of engaging, experiencing, and accessing the mystical. When I'm having a mystical experience, it seems more real to me than anything I've ever known in my life, and I lose track of space and time. Often, just before I become entwined in it, I see in my mind, and sometimes in my outer world, circular, geometric patterns made of light and energy. They tend to look like mandalas, except they're not static. They're standing waves of interfering frequencies that appear as fractal patterns. The only way I can describe their properties is that they are alive, moving, changing, and ever evolving into more complex patterns within patterns. These patterns look like what you see when you look into a kaleidoscope, but instead of being two-dimensional, they are three-dimensional. When I see and rest my attention on these divine geometric patterns, they change, and I know in a moment, as my brain takes that pattern of information and transduces it into vivid imagery, I am about to have a profound mystical experience. That's why my team and I wanted to create a kaleidoscope visual for my students, to hopefully induce those types of experiences. But we couldn't find any real footage of a kaleidoscope. At the time, all the fractal geometry media files on the internet were computer generated, and I wanted to create a more realistic representation. After much searching, my team and I found a family that has been making kaleidoscopes for three generations, so we bought one of their best pieces. Next, we rented a camera by RED, the leading manufacturer of the professional digital cinema cameras most often used in Hollywood films. We fitted the camera with a lens that attaches to the end of a fiber optic filament, which we inserted inside the kaleidoscope. Once we placed the camera inside the kaleidoscope, we affixed the motor to the end that rotates, so its internal crystals and oils would move in smooth, consistent transitions. For hours in a Seattle, Washington studio, we captured beautiful images and colors while filming against a black backdrop. The black represents the absence of anything physical, the place where we become no body, no one, no thing, nowhere, in no time. This is the infinite black space or void that you learned about in Chapter 3. As we recorded all the footage over the course of several days, gravity caused the crystals and oil to fall and accelerate with every rotation, so a technician had to tediously account for every second, frame by frame, to ensure the transitions were smooth. If the transition was not fluid, it risked breaking the viewer's focus or trance state. It took months to refine our footage into the one-hour video that we used during our advanced workshops. Finally, we had talented composer Frank Piscotti create the accompanying soundtrack. We wanted our students to be continuously mesmerized by the beautiful symmetry and changing geometric forms. Mind Movies, the motion picture of your future. At our advanced workshops, every participant receives a fun and easy-to-use software program called Mind Movies to make a movie about their future self and their life. We use this in tandem with the kaleidoscope video. Depending on what the student wants to create in their life, the movie they make about their future exposes them to images and specific written suggestions and information designed to assist them in creating it, just like the shingles commercial helps you to read along. This could range from healing from a disease to strengthening their immune system, creating a new job, manifesting new opportunities, traveling the world, attracting abundance, finding a new life partner, having mystical experiences, and more. Its purpose is to remind them that they can accomplish their dreams, create the uncommon, and become supernatural. The goals of this personalized media presentation include 1. Helping students get clear on the intention they want to create in their future. 2. Programming their conscious mind as well as their unconscious mind into that new future. 3. Changing their brain and body to biologically look like the future has already happened. 4. Repeatedly associating those pictures and images with music to create new neural networks in the brain and to emotionally recondition the body to a new mind. It's a way for them to remember their future. The Mind Movie technology was founded by two business partners from Australia, Natalie and Glenn Ledwell. They are not only the founders, but also the poster children for its capabilities. Their journey began in 2007 when a friend showed them a movie he had created about his life. Later, he approached them with the idea of starting a business based on what would become Mind Movie software. Getting the business off the ground required them to create a website to distribute the software so they could instruct people from all around the world on how to make their own movies. Yet they already had four businesses and knew almost nothing about the internet or e-commerce. Glenn could barely turn on a computer, and Natalie hadn't even heard of YouTube. They recognized, however, that Mind Movie had the potential to be a very powerful tool to help people build the belief that they could create real outcomes in their lives. With that in mind, they decided to post a video about the power of Mind Movies on YouTube. At the end of the video, viewers were encouraged to visit their website where they could learn how to build their own. In early 2008, after receiving countless emails from customers telling them how Mind Movies had changed their lives, Natalie and Glenn decided to go all in. They flew to the United States attended an internet marketing seminar, joined the Marketing Mastermind Group, and began planning Mindmovie's global launch. Yet when they arrived in the United States, they had nearly drained their bank account, leaving almost no money to pay for the remaining services required to launch the business. This meant learning, mastering, and implementing everything for the launch themselves. For months, they worked 12-hour days out of their office, otherwise known as their bedroom. In the process, they ventured so far outside their comfort zone that they no longer knew what a comfort zone was. Faced with daily technical, business, and personal challenges, they had one secret weapon in their arsenal: their own Mindmovie. In their Mindmovie, Natalie and Glenn defined the number of customers they wanted to attract and who those customers would be. They described the respect of their industry peers and plotted out what they would do once their business was a success, such as the restaurants where they would eat and the family holidays they would take. Finally, they wanted to produce $1 million worth of sales. Why not aim high, they thought. Their marketing friends were doing million-dollar launches, albeit with $5,000 programs. They watched their Mindmovie multiple times a day to de-stress and remain focused and inspired, even though everything in their current reality seemed to be working against them. But they knew all their effort, risk, and dreams would culminate on the day of their global launch. The finish line was in sight. And then the unthinkable happened. Scheduled for September 2008, their launch coincided with the global financial crisis. Financial institutions around the world were facing cataclysmic losses, while families and individuals lost their savings, assets, and livelihoods in the worst downturn since the Great Depression. Meanwhile, Glenn and Natalie were facing their own financial hardships. By launching the business, they'd racked up $120,000 in credit card debt. If the business failed, they'd lose everything, their home, cars, and investments, in addition to being buried under an insurmountable debt. On the morning of their launch, unbeknownst to them, their email delivery system was down for scheduled maintenance, so none of their customers received confirmation emails for their purchase. By lunchtime, they had already received thousands of customer support email complaints, in addition to challenges with their online bank. The bank wanted to freeze their account due to unusual activity. By evening, however, they had experienced the most memorable day of their lives. In the first hour, on the first day, they had hit the $100,000 mark, and that by day's end, they'd grossed $288,000. In the end, Glenn and Natalie ended up generating $700,000 based on a $97 program with no upsells. But the story doesn't end there. They were, of course, delighted with their achievement, but they faced one last monumental challenge. Because of the volatile and uncertain financial climate at the time, their bank froze their account so they couldn't access the money. This meant they couldn't pay commissions to their affiliates, or the $120,000 they owed to creditors, or deliver profit sharing to the people who had helped them launch the business. Everything hinged on their funds being released. Finally, after 6 months of sticking to their vision and watching their Mindmovie, they gained access to their account, lifting the financial burden that had nearly sent them into bankruptcy. But here's where the story gets really good. As the world was still reeling economically, the value of the US dollar against the Australian dollar was still grossly different. So thanks to the exchange rate, when they transferred their money back to Australia, they ended up earning an extra $250,000. With that, as well as with the commissions they received in exchange for promoting partner affiliate programs, Glenn and Natalie actually met their $1 million goal. They credit a huge part of their success, which was the complete opposite of what everyone else in the world was experiencing, with the fact that they focused on their Mindmovie every single day. While this is a great example of the potential of Mindmovies, and while the options to create your own Mindmovie are endless, the process is relatively the same. Students first pick their own song, one they will never tire of listening to. Next, they choose images and/or videos of either themselves or a future event and lay them out sequentially to tell a story of what their future looks like. Finally, we ask them to come up with specific words, phrases, or affirmations to add to the scenes, which they superimpose over the images. In the exact same way that TV commercials program people to be victims or to experience want and lack, Mindmovies can program students to be unlimited in the life they are capable of creating. In our advanced workshops, our students watch the Kaleidoscope video before they watch their Mindmovies because it helps them induce and sustain alpha and theta trance states with their eyes open, opening the doorway between the conscious and subconscious mind. Throughout their meditation, while in an alpha or theta brainwave states, they are more suggestible to their own reprogramming process. This is important because the more